Good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. Matthew's live stream service this morning. My name's Jane, and I'm a member of this church family, and I want to welcome you. We have a loving God who always keeps his promises. And sometimes that is the promise of the difficulties of our lives that come with living in a broken world. But this just reinforces to us that this is a father who does not shy away from the difficult. It proves that he is a faithful God, and we can be confident in that other promise of life eternal, saved through Jesus, and that is true too. We are separated by geography and restriction, much like the early disciples, but like them, we are joined together in his word and love.
The first Bible reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, starting at verse 30. The Roman centurion has sent for the apostle Peter to come and visit, and Peter has just asked him why that is. Starting at verse 30. Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Sent to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
And our second reading this morning is from Romans 8, 1 to 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jane. Good morning again to everyone. I'm really excited to be looking at Romans 8 today, especially in the middle of lockdown, because I think it just opens up to us the nature of God's freedom, which is not bound by anything, not even by death. I was speaking with a member of St. Matt's this week. We actually met virtually for lunch. We kept the appointment that we'd made before lockdown, and our food ended up being Romans 8, 1 to 17. But before we ate, we talked. And my lunch partner was fairly honest. Here's what they said. I find myself constantly thinking about death and dying. The media are hammering away on COVID information. In the past, I played the role of offering comfort and assurance to others when they needed it. Now I'm overwhelmed. And it's forcing me to think about Christian hope. Whether I really have it, confidence in the resurrection and forever life with God, or if it's just an idea. And perhaps you have also been wrestling with these things as you've just been overwhelmed by the flood of lockdown information and the threat of COVID just outside your door. We can go through times, can't we, of feeling as though we're actually immortal or simply not thinking about death. But when it presses in, like now, when we're confronted, our true beliefs are actually exposed. So do you remember I said last week, character is not made in crisis, it's shown. So don't waste this crisis. Let your heart be exposed, but don't stop there. So if your character is being shown and you feel that that's not satisfactory, and even it doesn't match up with Christian hope, then that's the starting point. Christian hope can become clearer facing death. And here is what we truly have. This is what we're going to find today, that we do have that resurrection hope, that forever life with God, for this reason. Christ is in you, as God's Spirit is in you, as it is in us, and we can live by the power of the Holy Spirit. So have a look with me. My key verses for today are Romans 8, chapters 9 and 10. Let's read them before we pray. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness.
And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Let's pray. Please join me and let's pray. Father, we bring ourselves to you in honesty today because some of us, if not many of us, find ourselves in crisis right now, not only in the physical lockdown, but in an inner turmoil. But restore our confidence, Father God, that there is life beyond the grave. There is life beyond COVID. Help us to remember again that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ is in us by his Spirit, and that we can live by the power of that Spirit. So help us to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're hearing this phrase regularly, aren't we? We're in this together. Yet the COVID effect, especially if we are being obedient in lockdown, means that we feel alone, quite physically alone, physically separated. Now, genuinely, God says this same thing to Christian people. We're in this together because Christ is in you, God's Spirit. Now, I'm going to read again verses 9 to 10, actually. They're so good, but they are so fundamental to this first point, Christ in you. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. I just want to refresh our memory of a wonderful progression, actually, that precedes this, that really helps us understand the fullness of Christ in you. And this is the progression: Christ for you, Christ to you, Christ in you. So in verses 3 and 4 of Romans chapter 8, we hear how Christ is for you. Christ came fully in sinful flesh to condemn sin and to be a sin offering to God, but for you, Christ for you. But Christ has come to you, to the Romans, but also to you in the preaching of his gospel. That's why I wanted us to read from Acts chapter 10, which Dan read for us before. Because Christ comes to us as his servants preach his good news. Did you see what happened when they were begging Peter to come? Come and speak to us. Come and tell us the good news. And as they hear it, Christ comes to them and the Spirit actually helps them believe it. Now, you might not have experienced what they experienced that day of an ecstatic speaking in other languages, but you have said the same thing that they said that day: Christ Jesus is Lord. Christ came to you in the preaching that you believed. But here we come to this moment of Christ in you, and that's verses 9 and 10. You are not in the realm of the flesh. You are not subject to death. You are not overwhelmed by the power of the flesh. A transfer has taken place, and look how. Verse 9, the Spirit of God lives in you. Verse 10, Christ is in you. Verse 11, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The word is oikos, house, taken up dwelling, taking up residence. So do you remember Ian's example of being in Christ? Christ is the plane, we're inside it. This is a home invasion, a life invasion. Christ coming in by his Spirit to dwell in us. It's been a willing submission. And we've looked at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've understood that is where God comes to reconnect man and woman with him. But it's not just a looking back and thinking, well, it happened then once upon a time, and thinking, well, now I feel really, really alone. I get that, but what's the connection? No, no. It's an utter togetherness of unity with God by his Spirit, Christ in you. And here is an amazing thing that at least I feel like I've seen this week as I've looked at Romans 8 in our household, with other people, with the staff, virtually. The same Spirit of God that allowed the Lord Jesus to continue to have success in obeying his Father and dying in our place is the same Spirit now that it is in us for the same success of continued unity between us and the Father. Isn't that awesome? That same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is now in us. It's in me. It's in you. Christ in you. I've become familiar recently, because I'm a little bit late to most things, with the Hamish and Andy podcast. You might know the two Australian comedians based in Melbourne, Hamish and Andy, and they encourage people to become subscribers to their podcast, to become very important podcasters, VIPs. And as part of that process, they've got a bit of a questionnaire. And one of the questions is, list down your special skills. Now, recently, on the podcast that I've been listening to, one of the special skills of a person was being able to fall asleep anytime. So they audit special skills, especially when they're outrageous. And so they got this guy in and he fell asleep in their studio, and it was true. His special skill was true. There's another woman who said that she had the ability to summon ducks by calling them. And they tested that out and it didn't work. Now, here's the thing. You would be able to fill out that questionnaire and at the special skills say, God is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. You would certainly get a phone call from Hamish and Andy to audit your special skill. But there it is. God is in you. The Spirit of God is in you as you have trusted Christ. Christ is in you. And here's the wonderful thing. I don't know if you ever had that experience at school where teams were picked either in PE or during break time. And they would pick them. One captain would have a choice. Another captain would have a choice. Pick, 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 pick. And you ended up always being picked last. Just an awful, constant, humiliating experience. Well, with Christ in you, not only are you picked first, but you are part of his victory. Christ in you. There is no separation. There's only unity. And that is the wonder of what God has done and of what we are. Christ in us. We are in this together because God is in us by his Spirit. That's my first point, Christ in you. My second big point is, now that Christians are filled with the Spirit, we are empowered for living by the Spirit of God. And I'm thinking here of verses 12 to 17. Do you want to have a look with me? Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. I'm going to read them again for us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Live. Not only are we able to live by the Spirit, but there's a command to live. And we see here that there are two ways to live. You can live to self and have death with God, or you can die to yourself and have life with God. And there are shades of Adam and Eve here, aren't there? Satan says, "You will not surely die." But we know how that ended, don't we? But for Christians, the power of this life has already been demonstrated in Jesus' death for sin and resurrection to reconnection and forever life with God. So it's quite clear there actually is one way to life with God, and it's Jesus' way. Now, with this gifted to us, we are debtors to Christ who dies for us, and we are called to live God's way. It's an obligation, actually. It's quite a word there, isn't it? In some versions, it's debtors. In other versions, we have an obligation. But it's not an if, it's a must, because we do have the Spirit of God. But we don't do this on our own. But have a look again at verses 12 and 13, because I'm pretty sure this is how you read it, or this is how you hear it. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Do you see what I left out there? Because I think that's how we hear it, and that's how we think about it all the time. If you put sin to death, if you put the misdeeds of the body, the things that don't please God, the things that don't stack up under his management. But instead, do you see how it reads? "But if by the Spirit," by the Spirit, dying to self, dying to live. We are not alone. This is not something we do just with our own strength. It's not just trying to grab our own bootstraps and pull ourselves up. No. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit is in us, convicting us, calling us on, ready to engage. And it's not like the Hulk in Infinity War, who just can't seem to muster up the strength or the anger or whatever it is that kind of makes him the Hulk. No. The Spirit is with us and in us. We don't have to conjure it up. We need to collaborate and ask God's power actually to help us live. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that at the end. So it's still thinking about living by the Spirit. The Christian is called and empowered by the Spirit to live as Spirit children of God. And here I'm thinking of verses 14 to 17 with just some wonderful descriptions there. Have a look again. Romans 8 from verse 14. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." I think our initial reaction again can be, But I don't do it. I'm not living as a child of God. But look again at where the emphasis lies. God by his Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, are children of God. The Spirit you received, not earned, the Spirit you received brought about adoption. But then we go even more deeply into how intimate and close this thing is. The Spirit brings you to cry, Abba, Father. This is a family word, and Jewish people would never have used this to address God. Jesus always did, except for one moment of his cry of abandonment and dereliction on the cross. So you see what's happening here? The Spirit testifies, working with our spirit, to actually bring this connection to God about and prove it to us that God has made us his children. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again now because it's so important. If you call God your Father, it's actually testimony of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. If you call Jesus Lord, it's actually testimony of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And I don't know if you need to pinch yourself for a moment, but Christ is in you. But it gets bigger and better than that still. God's children are described as heirs of God. And we discussed this in our household as we did the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And it occurred to me in that moment, we get God. Wow. God is our inheritance. How tremendous. What more do we need? And we kind of understand that a little bit more, I think, as we're described as being co-heirs with Christ, our brother. Because in the Greco-Roman world, the concept of adoption meant that someone who had nothing to do with the family could potentially become a child of that family to full effect for the sake, really, of the future of the family. So it's quite significant, isn't it? If we're co-heirs with Christ, we've been adopted by God the Father to be like his son. And we know it because God has done it at the cross of Christ. And this takes fear away. It completely changes the relationship, doesn't it? We're not living in the dark regarding God's existence. So I've read this multiple times, actually, when Indigenous people will say about the missionaries who brought them the gospel, we thank God that they brought the light because we no longer live in fear of the spirits, of whatever lies beyond this world that we can't control. I think a contemporary reminder of that kind of attitude is the Aboriginal smoking ceremony. Just doing a little bit of research on the Aboriginal smoking ceremony, it's to cleanse people and places of bad spirits. The Aboriginal religion, the Aboriginal religion of Australia, is just conscious that there are evil spirits all the time pressing in, and ceremonies need to be done for protection. But that's just a constant fearfulness. The Bible has a classic example of this in Acts chapter 17. Paul walks into the Areopagus of Athens and he says, I see that you're very, very religious. You've even got an altar to an unknown God. And the reason that they had an altar to an unknown God was because they feared that if they had missed any one God out, that would be enough to generate anger to come and for the gods to come and destroy that city. So can you see what is happening here? As Christ has been for you and to you and now in you, God is known as Father. We inherit God. We are co-heirs with Christ and so fully adopted. We have his spirit and we will be raised like him. So our attitude is not, well, I don't do these things, so I can't be a Christian. Remember how Ian helpfully brought us to kind of that realization a little while ago, where often what we think about is all the things that we don't do and therefore how that cancels us out before God. But instead, what we're understanding here is I am a child of God because he made me that by what Christ has done on the cross. I am connected with him now by his spirit, so I can actually live by the spirit's power in me, living as the returned prodigal, because that's actually what we are now. And I thought it was wonderful, actually, in our life group this week, which we've done just by Zoom, as hard as that can be. I just want to encourage you to keep pressing in and connecting with each other. It was wonderful to hear a couple of our members speak about the fact that they had become Christian only recently. And it certainly was true in their experience that as they look back at their pre-Christian life, they didn't know that the only thing that they did was to sin. The only thing that they could do was to live a life that was so self-centered. But now, in the freedom that they have in Christ, they are children of God, and they are living in the light of Christ and in God's love, in the Spirit. And the two things are just not the same. So we are children of God by His Spirit. But the characteristic, and this is my final point, the characteristic of the children of God is something that is quite stark and seems to be quite shocking, that we share in Christ. So have a look. I'm just going to read verse 17 again for the last time. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So here's where the rubber really hits the road. And you might have had the experience reading that chapter this week and getting to that verse and thinking, what? I didn't think that this was part of the deal. Sharing in Christ's sufferings in order to share in his glory. Simply put, it means joining our King in his victory over sin. The first part of that, trust him in his suffering at the cross where the victory was won. But the second part of that is uniting with him in an ongoing battle against the flesh, against self-management and sin. This is suffering, isn't it? Our spirit joins with the Spirit of God, taking God at his word and obediently living, following Christ, which will bring us into tension and conflict with everything else around us that doesn't pursue Christ's lordship. But here's the thing. The Spirit of God that succeeded the first time will succeed in us the second time. Not only for our godly living, but for our resurrection. So not only do we have nothing to fear, but we have everything to live for, and we have the Spirit's power to do so. I wanted to take you to a moment in Jesus' life, actually, where he shows us what that looks like. And if you've got your Bibles there, and you might have forgotten what a paper Bible looks like, but some of them look like this, you might have to kind of go searching on your shelves to dust off your Bible, but in the lockdown moment, especially with church online, can be a handy thing to have. And I'm reading from Matthew chapter 4. Have a listen. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." So Satan's appealing to a pretty basic instinct, the stomach. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." So he appeals to the Lord Jesus' basic sense of safety. I think we can relate to that, can't we? Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." So he appeals to the Lord Jesus' basic instinct of needing to be worshipped. Well, in Jesus' case, it was quite legitimate, wasn't it? In our case, we do have a God complex and we love other people to worship us. But Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Here's why I wanted us to look at that moment in the Lord Jesus' life. Jesus takes up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, but he does it in the context being led by the Spirit into the battleground of Satan, who wants to tempt him away from honouring his Father. And Jesus replies, and he shows us some pretty important things when you're led by the Spirit. The Word of God is fundamental, because what the Lord has said once lasts for all time. He shows us that life is with God. He just won't be deviated from connection and unity with his Father. And he shows us that when someone honours the Word of God, understands that life is with God, then there is freedom to serve God and others. Let's not make a mistake to think that following the Lord Jesus and being filled by the Spirit and living God's way is all about our best life now, which some people want to sell not only to us in a secular kind of a way, but also in a religious kind of a way, that if you're really truly connected by God, with Jesus, through the Spirit, everything is going to be mansions and gold chains. But what we see here is that when a person's spirit joins with the Holy Spirit to live for God, it is a glorious, wonderful, God-focused thing, but it's not easy. So this is what I want to encourage you to do this week by way of application. Join your spirit to the Spirit of God. I want to say thanks to Phil for his helpful video. We are little children, aren't we, in the house of our Father, to whom we have access and with whom we have unity through the Son by the Spirit who now lives in us. So what we want to do is press in to him. So in my family, when our kids were little, it kind of worked like this. And I've got to say, because of Sarah's tiredness, and she would be a much deeper sleeper than me anyway. But it didn't take the kids too long to work out that if they woke up in the middle of the night, there was no use calling out for Mum. There was no use going to her side of the bed. She needed to call out for Dad, because Dad slept more lightly and he would get up and take care of them. So would you press into your Father this week? Because he actually is ready by his Spirit to listen and engage with you. And here's a really concrete way to think about doing that. Why don't you have a digital fast? Now that seems like a radical, stupid thing to suggest in lockdown, doesn't it? But here's what I'm suggesting. For all those things that aren't essential to your daily living and work, that you would be connecting to through your device, stop that. And as you stop that and experience the space without it, check in on what you're actually watching. What are the inputs and what are the outputs? Ask yourself what it's giving you. John Dixon, in Hanging In There, he has this excellent reflection. Some Christians spend 2 minutes a day with God and 2 hours in front of a screen and then wonder why God seems distant and the people on TV seem real. Press in to your Father this week. Go to your Abba, your Father. Press into him. Firstly, read his word. I've just become aware recently through a couple of independent studies and their results that I've read, what they've found is that those who are most mature and growing in Christ have a fundamental discipline of daily Bible reading. The Bible is essential. That's what Jesus actually showed us as he's been tempted by Satan in the desert, led by the Spirit, full of the Word of God, and actually applies it to be able to live by the Spirit. I've suggested Romans chapter 8 with a 5-4-3-2-1 model. It does feel like speed dating, but I think it shows us how easy it actually is to spend 15 minutes together with someone else or just on our own in our own quiet times reading the Word. Pray. And do it throughout the day. Perhaps just a simple prayer saying, Father, in Jesus' name, please help me engage with the Spirit today through your word. And lastly, why not pick up a gospel of Jesus to meet Jesus again? And as you read, think, what's the fruit of the Spirit in him? What does it look like? How can I actually show that as well? So don't waste a crisis. Character is not made in crisis, it's shown, but it gives us that opportunity to open our hearts to the Lord and let him come in and do some open heart surgery. Character can be grown by the Spirit, not in your own strength, through living hope in Christ, living as God's Spirit-empowered, Word-empowered children, joining in Christ's suffering as we also join Christ in pressing back sin to share in his glory in this life, but in the resurrected life to come. That sounds good to me. I'll be praying that you'll join me in that this week. Let's pray now. Father, we're so glad that you bring us to moments in our lives that expose our hearts, that show us where we're at. And for many of us, Lord, this is one of those moments. Father, please do open heart surgery on us. Thank you so much for putting your Spirit in us. It's not a matter of whether we have the Holy Spirit, but we do. Please help us, Lord, to live as your children, sharing in Jesus' victory, pressing back sin and glorifying you. Father, help us to do that this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
So everybody at home, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that you have gifted us the ability to meet. We trust in you that this is for a season, and you will bring us back to fellowship in your good time. We thank you for the gifts that enable us as a family to enjoy this technology, and for the use of those gifts in other ways to further your kingdom. In our different worlds in the coming week, Father, be in us. Amen. So people of St. Matthew's, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.